It's a good show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers. Hey, everybody. This is Never Seen It. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm your host, Kyle Ayers. Thank you guys very much for listening. Today, we are joined in studio by Sharla Lawrenston. Sharla,
hello. Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited for this movie for a few reasons. And also, we're joined by Travis Clark and Will Miles. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
You guys are, like, physically very far away.
Yes. Yeah,
in the
yeah.
same studio.
But very close to one another.
Yeah, yes. definitely.
I also feel like this is how they make, like, great hits by the Beatles and stuff, like, in this room. I don't know.
I feel like we're cutting a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Like, we're all going to be like, you know, like we're doing VO.
I appreciate how optimistic you are about how many people listen to this.
Don't sell yourself short, Kyle.
I won't.
Actually, what are the numbers? Do you not know?
Actually, how old are you? How much money do you make? I think we said we get like 40 or 50 people listen almost every episode.
Sweet.
I think it's more than that.
It's tough to tell.
Yeah.
You know, there's a census in 2020, and we're getting this added.
Oh, that's great. Right. That's fantastic.
Race, are you a legal citizen? Do you listen to Never Seen It?
Right.
And then the sub-question is, do you listen to the Never Seen It podcast that's Kyle's and not one of the two other podcasts
right.
called Never Seen It on iTunes?
Also, can you explain a podcast?
Yeah.
Just can you tell people what that
I'm
is?
I'm surprised the census at this point doesn't say, what is the name of your podcast? Not, do you have a podcast? Subset, which of your podcasts, you know, it's just how many podcasts do you have or in your household?
I'm surprised every new podcast doesn't start with an apology.
I think this one
so
did.
So sorry.
I'm pretty sure this one was like, well, here we are doing another movie podcast. We promise we're trying something pretty different.
Sorry to add to it.
Oh, we're going to pull your phone up and play your podcast into the microphone. sorry to add to it right now, but
here you guys
hey, everybody, this is your host, Will Miles. I want to thank everyone for...
remember to like and subscribe.
Anyways, this is... You did Beasts of No Nation.
Yeah.
Which was one of the first... I think it was one of the first movies I associated with Netflix getting prestige attention.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what year it came out. 2 years ago?
I don't remember either. I just remember that Stringer Bell from The Wire was doing an African movie.
Sure.
It was like, cool.
Yeah.
Which would have been a tagline that got a lot more people to watch it, probably.
I think so. And I also heard, I had no interest in seeing the movie, but I knew so much about the production of the movie. There was so
really?
Much news. Yeah, because it was the first thing, as you said, that Netflix was doing.
Yeah.
But there was so much news about how shitty it was making the movie.
Huh. I didn't see any of this. But I'm not good at following this sort of stuff. I just remember seeing, like, bus stop ads and subway ads and being like, this is just on Netflix? Because they had, like, House of Cards and comedy specials and stuff, but not... We are going to try and win Oscars with stuff only we have made.
Yeah.
And now I guess, now it's so overwhelming, I don't even know what they do anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we know exactly what they do because, like, everybody's trying to beat them now.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the whole Comcast/Disney trying to buy Fox thing is? It's like everyone's trying
everything's
to, like,
just
be
gonna,
as
yeah.
big as
right. Netflix. Eventually, there's just going to be one network called television.
Right.
And you'll be like, hey, do you have television?
Did you see? Yeah.
It'll come back around to just having the three channels like it used to have on the original
network.
That's
exactly what they're trying to do.
I think it'll get more insidious than that, though. I think at some point you'll be like, oh, I have a Disney kidney. Like, you know, they make everything, you
know? Hey, do you have a cable login for my soul?
I do not like Variety. I hate Variety so much.
Yeah.
I like being told what to watch.
Do you mean the magazine?
I love Variety.
Yeah, Hollywood Reporter is so much better.
What do you mean, though?
Like, there's too many things. Like, I know there's a push for variety and all that stuff, diversity. I love that.
I think diversity and variety are different.
I hope so, for the sake of what I'm saying.
You're embarrassing the shit out of me right now.
I'm trying this whole shit right now.
In case you don't know, Will Miles is actually two white males.
Was
no,
it,
like
there's what's the guys with the tiki torches being like, we don't like variety. Yeah, like, wasn't that kind of thing?
They also like the Hollywood Reporter. Yeah.
Too many options.
No, I'm also overwhelmed by how much shit there is.
So yeah. Much, like Prime added to, like I don't Prime wanna, having I don't good watch shit anything. Is fucking me up right now.
Yeah. I've actually been listening to a lot of podcasts because I don't want to watch anything.
It's so tough to choose something. If I get on Netflix now, I'll panic and just rewatch The Office.
I do the exact same thing.
And you're just like, well, at least I know that this is The Office and they didn't make it. Because now Netflix is like, hey, we got Blurk and we got The Transformation of Eden. You're like, what is any of this? I've never heard of it.
Right.
I don't know. All the posters look the same.
Yeah.
They all look a little amateurish.
Right. They do.
And you're just like, it looks
It looks like a
weird.
Very good web series.
Yeah, every movie on Netflix looks like it was in the beginning of Tropic Thunder.
Right.
Yes. Thank you. I mean, I hate to say that. If Netflix is listening, I want to do a
movie
still.
It's not like they're going to come stab you.
But they're so not professional.
Because it's so there's an overwhelming amount. There's 5,000 things.
Because it's one guy doing all, you know, it just.
No, I heard that, like, the reason why they get so many things on the air is because there are multiple people that have the power to greenlight things. Like, it doesn't have to be one exec at the top that
greenlights. So could we greenlight something here right now?
I think we could just say,
yeah, we could do
I think
that.
We could tweet and Netflix would be like, all right, we can tweet an idea.
Done!
If this tweet gets 100 favorites, we have been greenlit by Wendy's. But-
Oh my God, I saw AT&T had like an SXSW film that was like, that got an award or some shit. And I was just like, we're all going
to
die.
And eventually now much. It's just the people
it's
with the money to influence award outcomes will be making them.
Mm-hmm.
Make AT&T win another one for phones are great. Give us your password.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be AT&T Oscar. Like it's going to be a golden phone that you win. Yeah, it's going to be.
Apple has shit coming out pretty
Apple
soon.
Apple has its own thing.
Yeah.
They have a network.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Apple Network, yeah.
And Facebook is getting more and more into the production.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people don't care.
People don't care.
It's an important time to halt the podcast and remind everyone listening. We would love any of
Yeah, of course.
To give me what I cannot
I
sum up.
I also would love a
pretty
show.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah.
I would take pretty much anything.
I would as well.
Does anyone have a job? Subway, do you have your own network at this point?
Oh my God, let's make a sandwich
Maybe
movie.
If Aldi's had a network, I would love a discount.
A Subway movie where you pick your own characters.
Watch Fresh.
And you build it to
tomatoes.
It's called Fresh Tomatoes.
Watch Subway tomorrow have a TV show based on that idea.
We're kind of an underground network.
We just wanted to disassociate from Jared.
Yeah.
We have this comedy show.
Michael Phelps driven television. You know Michael Phelps, our only spokesman ever.
Yeah.
But when Beasts of No Nation came out, it looked like that was pre, I would say, overwhelming amount.
It was.
That was like, oh, did you see the movie Netflix made?
It was. It was cool to, it was still cool to see them changing the industry, I think. Now I don't care what happens. But at the time, I was like, you got Idris?
Yeah.
You got a big budget movie. You're not releasing it in theaters. I was like, this is really changing the game.
Because it was like, they had House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a television thing, though. So that was just a very specific thing. And that looked like it was going to be the thing Netflix had made.
Mm-hmm.
But then this was, we're getting the, at that point, I mean, Idris was like the, as famous an actor as there, he still is.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone was like, is he going to be James Bond?
Yeah.
What is he working on? What is every following very closely? And he's doing a movie that doesn't go to theaters.
Yeah. I think it wasn't theaters for a limited release.
Oh, to get Oscar nomination.
Yeah,
or something
but
like that?
I think I looked at the numbers when I was like Googling the movie.
Yeah.
Like I think it made like $90,000 or something like that.
Jesus.
In theaters. But it didn't matter because that wasn't the point.
You just have to be in theaters for some sort of run to get award nominations.
Yeah, it's like a couple of days in LA and a couple
past.
Of days in New York, and those are the only. That's it.
Yeah. Truly, what a. What a relic of a rule.
Relic of the past, yeah.
People are really figuring out how to break the rules. But
people are changing the rules.
Kanye with those 7 track albums.
Is that the minimum
that you have to be nominated for a Grammy?
I love this. I love this. What is the, and it's not like he's doing the least because he's making this album and producing like nothing, but it's like, what's the minimum I got to put on here?
Yeah, 7.
Because then there was a big thing with Chance where he was trying to get nominated for awards because he was just releasing his album for free. They wouldn't let him do it.
Yeah. But then he did it.
He changed the rules.
And we just talk about Chance the Rapper the rest of the podcast.
You guys like Christian rap.
But Beast of No Nation. I did, but I did never watch it. I don't know if any of us have seen it.
I've never seen it.
I forgot it existed until this showed
Perfect.
Up.
Oh, good. Perfect. Because you're going to read how it happened.
So everyone's parts are, your parts are up in the top right corner.
Sweet.
And so we're going to go around and let everyone know who we are playing, just so you know.
Is this the one with the Ellis Clavangene, right?
No, this is not. That's Beasts of the Southern Wild.
What?
Yeah.
What? There's two movies?
I remember that one. That one's about New Orleans or
I
something
saw that
like
one.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one too. And all I remember was this is about a little girl in New Orleans.
Yeah. And her dad, I don't know, their dad dies or something. I don't actually remember what happened. Doesn't
that
matter.
Movie That's is not, in New Orleans?
Yeah, it's based. I think it's based on the Wait, hurricane.
You know there's movies and stuff, right, Will? You're like, how did they made a movie in New Orleans?
He hates variety. He thinks there's one movie.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, I thought movies were in L.A. How is there one in New Orleans?
They made movies after Dude, Where's My Car? No way.
How did they find, how did they get there? Okay, so let's let everyone know who we are, and then we're going to be some donation here.
Sure, I'm doing stage directions.
I'm going to be playing Avon.
I'm going to be playing Stringer Bell.
I am going to be playing a toddler.
Sweet. Beasts of No Nation and the Unrelenting, Inescapable Misery of Africa, written by Sharla Larriston. This movie that I've written is based on the trailers I've seen, some headlines I've read about how shitty it was to film the movie, and the general understanding that happiness and joy do not exist in Africa. Exterior, the African jungle, day. This movie is set in the jungle because there are no cities or towns or anything in Africa. The whole country is just a giant jungle and or shanty town. It's 400 degrees. Quick pops of random Africans looking miserable. African women randomly walking around topless so we can see their droopy African titties. Please note, African women are not beautiful or desirable. Dead bodies litter the streets from two civil wars ago. Suddenly, one of those jeeps that looks like a roided out golf cart comes down a dirt road. Please note, there is no infrastructure in Africa. Interior, exterior, roided out golf court, cart continuous. The roided out golf court is carrying, cart is carrying Stringer Bell from the wire. He looks unbelievably sexy. He wears tattered clothes and a tattered beret, signifying he's king of the jungle. Close on Stringer, eyes bloodshot, talking while a driver, Avon Barksdale, navigates the jungle.
You are here because someone killed your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your preacher, your baka.
Reveal, he is talking to a bunch of toddlers. One of them yawns, aww, sleepy.
Now you will be a soldier.
He puts a filthy, bloody knife in a toddler's hand. The toddler examines it in a toddler-like fashion. He licks it, immediately dies from AIDS.
You will kill. You will murder. You will be warriors.
A toddler sneezes.
Play!
There will be no playing. Your life as a baby is over.
Some toddlers start crying. Some are napping. Some wonder if life has any meaning apart from overwhelming, incomprehensible misery. Exterior, toddler soldier camp, later. Stringer and Avon and the toddlers arrive at a baby soldier camp. Obstacle courses are set up for training.
You will train hard. You will learn to fight. You will become killers.
Montage of the toddlers doing the obstacle course while Stringer and Avon drill them.
Push harder.
You best not do an African accent, Kyle.
We were all waiting.
You best not.
I feel bad about mine.
That I thought I was doing one.
I love it. I love it.
So I don't hear color.
You will kill.
Interior, camp house night. A big tent houses Stringer and Avon and the toddlers. They eat gruel and do cocaine. Interior, camp house night. Avon and Stringer lay back chatting while the toddlers sleep. Avon listens intently as tears well up in Stringer's eyes.
I became a general when they killed my father. I do not know why they killed him. I do not care. Everything is about killing now. There is no point to this killing or life. Nothing matters.
Avon tears up. An Oscar falls into Stringer's hands. He sets it aside next to his other Oscars. Exterior, hut in the middle of the jungle, day. Stringer and Avon and the toddlers pull up to a hut in their big-ass golf cart. Stringer jumps out holding an AK-47. He's glistening because it's crazy hot out, and he's crazy hot, so all the hotness mixed together forms sweat that drips off of him. He takes the 2-year-old toddler out of the Jeep and walks him over to the hut.
Inside this hut is the man that killed your father. You must kill this man.
The toddler points to the hut and responds in indecipherable baby talk.
Father, now kill water with a bye-bye with a hat.
Stringer is frustrated that this actual baby doesn't have the intellectual maturity to understand how shitty life is.
Do you understand that this man killed your father? I am your father now. You must do what I say.
Stringer Bell gets down on one knee and helps the toddler grip the AK-47.
Coward! Come out of your hole!
It's quiet for a beat. Then a baby warlord crawls out of the hut.
Fire!
Stringer and the toddler shoot maniacally at the baby warlord and his hut until there is nothing but a cloud of smoke and a dead baby warlord. Stringer glows with pride and lets out a deep belly laugh.
I love my baby army.
Thank you for letting me do this, Kyle.
That was great.
Was so much fun.
Thank you for doing it. I have no idea what the plot of the movie is.
Neither do I.
But I think you definitely nailed Oscar prestige film set in Africa. Exploit for awards, the movie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All of the trailers are just, you know, someone kills Abraham Atta's dad or the little kid that plays the kid. His name is Abraham Atta, the little kid that plays a baby soldier. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you must kill this man. He killed your father. And I was like, oh, we're killing fathers. Okay.
It's funny. I have friends from Africa who have like some happy times they talk about every now and then.
Right.
You well, never
I,
would know.
That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to see this film, because I'm like, I don't want to watch a movie about how shitty. Yeah. Is there? Yeah. Could I ever see a movie about happy times in Africa?
Never.
Could we see a movie where Africa has infrastructure and full families?
It's crazy because I'm trying to, the most infrastructure I've seen in a movie that takes place in Africa is like District 9.
Right.
Yeah. Which is a sci-fi movie about crumbling infrastructure.
Right. Or Black Panther, which is
a fictional place.
Which is a fictional place, and it was the most awesome movie I've ever seen. Yeah. I love that movie.
That was great.
I want to see just like dumb, happy bullshit about Africa. Like, I don't want to see war and.
Like a comedy would be nice.
A comedy set in Africa would be amazing.
Yeah. Even like Black Panther was, we have to put on a facade of being not what we are.
Yeah.
Because people won't believe that this is here.
Right. Oh, man, I really
Let's make
love
that
Black
comedy.
Panther.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good.
So much.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I was like, oh, man, they're kind of talking. They're not bringing up horrible shit all the time.
They're not. And I also loved the relationship between African Americans and Africans, because you hardly ever see that, the differentiation between different kinds of Black people in different cultures. And it's like, we're from the same place, but culturally we're extremely different. And I love the idea that there is resentment towards this wealthy, advanced African nation for not helping to lift the Black people that are literally trapped. I say it with quotations, but it's actually true. trapped in America. I thought that movie was so needed, especially in this time when I personally have lost all hope in a democracy. And it's like, it was just such a hopeful movie. Oh, were you?
Yeah, I'm all about Killmonger.
Okay.
I'm from Chicago.
Clearly,
it's
I'm not on board. Clearly, I'm not on board. I was like, did Michael B. Jordan just learn his lines when he did this movie?
Clearly.
Well, he had to work out a couple times a day, I think.
He went to Oakland once.
He had 400 abs.
He was really busy. Yeah, he did. I loved it. Yeah. I wasn't Team Killmonger because that's not what the script asked me to do.
It asked
me to be on Lupita Nyong'o's side because I'm a girl and I saw a beautiful Black woman. And the part where Danai Gurira takes off her wig, I was like, yes!
This is
the blackest episode Kyle's ever had.
Yeah. I'm just listening. It is interesting.
Yeah.
I love that part. I love the Warriors more than I love, the Warriors of Wakanda? The women who really ran the country?
Yes, yes.
That was great.
Yes.
But I like Killmonger's ideas. I'm like, he's right, man.
That's the thing. He wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
And it was one of the things I thought, because I don't watch a lot of superhero movies, but when I do, like when I've seen movies like Spider-Man or whatever, I'm always disappointed in the plot because I don't care about it. My favorite superhero movies of the few that I've seen are Thor and this one. Yeah. And it's because the actual movie was fun to watch.
Do you know which Thor?
The first one.
Oh, really? I hear
with Natalie Portman.
The newest Thor was like really, really good.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. I want to see it. I haven't seen
Ragnarok,
it. Ragnarok. I think I would see it.
Yeah, yeah. I always, because what I thought about Black Panther was it was the first, one of the few superhero movies where you pay attention to the villain. Where it's not just, yeah. I got to blow up the world because.
Right.
Or yeah. It's a very well thought out, and there's a lot of depth to why he behaved. He's not. Evil. A lot of the supervillains in superhero movies seem to be like, I'm the villain.
Right. And the thing is, I felt that the resentment that Killmonger had wasn't pulled out of thin air.
No.
It was very relatable and realistic to the actual plot and something that I would feel. You know, yeah. I was just like, oh, I can relate to Killmonger and I understand where he's coming from. If this was reality, if there was a great African nation and they totally did ignore us and didn't help us, but claim that we're connected, and they literally are connected because of the connection that Killmonger has to Wakanda. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an excellent movie. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
My takeaway from that movie was a charismatic outsider influenced a very complicated election process.
Yes.
That is true.
I've never seen that in real life.
An American at that.
Yes.
That'll never come up.
That'll never happen. Yes. We're fine. Don't worry about it.
That's what we're talking about, like rewatching The Office to feel okay. I started rewatching Parks and Rec just because I got tired of The Office.
Yeah.
And the whole, whatever season 2012 is, I think season 4, the whole plot is Leslie's trying to become a city council person, but she's losing the election to Paul Rudd, who just plays a rich kid who wants the job to do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, the whole, every complaint everyone has with Leslie is that she's been in politics too long and she knows the system too well. And I'm like, and this is in 2012. And they're like, this is a weird, far-fetched thing that'll never play out in the future.
I mean, the thing is, I was just watching The Simpsons last night, an episode. I don't remember what the name of the episode is, but what's his name? The guy with the big red hair that's Bart's nemesis.
Sideshow Bob
gets out of jail because, like, the Republican Party wants to use him as a pawn to, like, run an election or become the new mayor of Springfield. And he wins. Even though he's an ex-con and everybody knows that. And they have this, oh, my God, what is this? What's Rush Limbaugh character that they, like, make fun of or whatever. That's part of what's driving this election. But it's like, how long ago was that?
Right. I love a nice far-fetched plot where people just vote for someone for arbitrary reasons that are against their own interests.
Yeah. Comedy writers saw this shit coming years ago.
Yeah, I mean, The Simpsons, of course, is way ahead of its time.
Always.
But a lot of the writers from The Simpsons were on Parks and Rec, or at least some of them, because Greg Daniels was
Scully,
on there.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Norm Hiscock was, but Norm Hiscock is he's an old-time writer from those great shows.
I think he was on The Simpsons.
I don't know if he was on The Simpsons. He was definitely on King of the Hill.
Okay.
He was on...
King of the Hill. He wrote on SNL.
Yeah, but like all of our favorite cartoons, like they had these great comments a long time ago.
I know, like, one of Wyatt Snack's first jobs
was
King of the Hill.
For years.
Yeah. What an incredible first job. You know that, you're like, oh, yeah, the voices align completely.
Totally.
Yeah.
These are the people in his act.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they just look different.
Fear. Right. Yeah. It's King of the Hill is probably my favorite if we're going to any cartoons.
One of my favorites.
It's so hard to find on the internet.
It is.
It's
really
on YouTube,
annoying.
I think. Right?
Why is it on Hulu?
It's not on Hulu.
It's not on anything.
Or Netflix.
It used to be on Netflix,
something.
And they lost whatever that was. Yeah. So who knows? You know, or it's alternative measures. What? You could steal it. I don't know. You probably steal it.
What's
on the internet? Just like download it, torrent it, or whatever.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to say to do that.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought that was a website.
Yeah.
I was like, what's alternative measures?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or there's alt-left ways to watch King of the Hill.
I thought it was some other animated show that was ahead of its time.
Alternative measures?
Holy shit.
It's the precursor to Big Mouth.
Yeah, okay.
If you guys want to check out Alternative Measures.
It comes on before Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw some of the guy who made Fairly Odd Parents, which was so funny.
It's a great show.
It's an
He's making
show.
His own television network. We're talking about a lot
no
of content
shit.
Being out there. He left Nickelodeon and left Fairly Odd Parents. And he's like, here's my next project, a TV network. And then I read that. I'm like,
Please don't.
There's no in between here.
Yeah.
It's going from making like a cartoon that people kind of like to a whole television network, but maybe it'd succeed. I don't know anything
about
it.
Maybe jump on like a YouTube channel. Yeah. Test the waters first. You know?
Maybe a second show.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know anything. Once again, I would love a job working for that television network.
Same.
I'd love to work
on a cartoon. I too would love a job.
Man. Yeah, I think you'd be great. Your voice is great there, Will. I think you nailed Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond's voice during the script.
Absolutely.
Where is the diamond? That's actually Jemmin Hansu. But
you did do an excellent job.
The trailer. I watched
and
the trailer.
And I noticed my mistake at the end when I wrote out father.
I figured he fell back into his fake American accent.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that's
Stringer
the explanation.
Bell.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
he's trying to appeal. Because he had to appeal to a wide scope of people to win an Oscar.
You do.
So every once in a while he has to, you know, like drink a Bud Light or something like that.
I don't even actually know if Idris Elba has won an Oscar.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
If only there was like a way to look up information.
Nah, never.
We'll just wonder forever.
Just not know. Yeah.
What's weird is how he's never really done anything in his actual accent. Right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of. Yeah.
And I thought he was putting on an accent because I only knew him as Stringer Bell.
Of course.
I was like, oh, cool. He does a British accent too. I was like, this guy is talented.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, he's Brits.
I rewatched The Wire after knowing he's a Brit.
Yeah.
And he's doing a terrible Baltimore
He's doing
accent.
A really bad one. He's doing and the thing is, when you first watch it and you don't know, you think something's off, but you don't know.
You're just like, I've never seen The Wire.
But also, most of the people on The Wire are British.
Yeah, I know.
McNulty is British.
Yeah. McNulty's okay, I think.
Oh, is he? I thought he was British.
The acting in that show is so excellent.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Except the accents?
Except for Stringer Bell's accent.
Okay.
Everybody else is
McNulty's
you can't really
is
tell.
Really good.
It's really
I know.
Good.
I like when he has to pretend to have a fake British accent when he's doing like the hooker sting or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's fun.
I had like prepped to dive in and watch the entire show, and then I told someone like I think I'm gonna watch The Wire. It's like because it's hard for me to watch a new thing.
Right.
It's hard for me to commit to it, and that's like a vast emotional long. And then someone goes, "Oh, you're gonna love how the theme music is different every scene, really." And I'm just like, "Well, now I'm not even gonna watch the show.
Right.
I don't know why that's what
you
told me about the show.
You should never.
I feel like you need support to watch it. I watched it with my husband.
Like you need someone to watch it with.
You need someone to like let's go watch The Wire. Yeah, I think so.
Because
that keeps me, especially because the first season. It's an hour long drama, and I'm not used to watching hour long dramas.
It's an hour.
It is an it's HBO, so there are no commercials. It is a full hour, and my attention span is just not used to that. I'm used to watching comedies. I'm used to watching short stuff.
And it's a slow paced hour.
It's a slow pace, and it's sad. Yeah. It's like real. And then the second season isn't as it's totally different characters and it's in a totally different location. So
still good.
Oh, I love this.
Underrated only because of when it came out.
I agree. The second season is excellent and just as good, just as good as any other season. I think the whole project is amazing and excellent, but it takes a commitment, which is why I think having support.
See,
when
this
you
is
watch
why
it helps.
When no one watches anything anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
Too much.
It meant if 50,000 shows hadn't come out since then, people would just be like, watch The Wire. It's the thing you
it's
haven't
good.
Seen.
It's great.
I loved that show so much. I flew to New York to meet Omar.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Because it was like during the last season. And I brought a box of Honey Nut Cheerios to
get
have him sign.
That's amazing.
And he signed it.
And reference all four of us.
Yeah.
Did.
Yeah.
I met Marlo at a party.
Cool.
And I met him once too, and I was
too
like,
excited.
I hate you. But
oh,
you seem awesome, but I hate you. Yes.
I was happy.
Is he a bad guy?
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
Worst.
You're like, no, he's actually the guy who saves everyone. I just hated him a lot. That's funny to see how people react around actors who portray like horrible people.
Mm-hmm.
I know the actor who played like Joffrey in Game of Thrones, who's like the villain of all villains.
Oh, but he's like a really nice
dude,
right?
He's like the nicest guy, but such a distinct face.
Yeah.
And so he would always tell stories. He's like, I'll walk around and people will walk up to me and scream, I hate you, at me. And I'll just be like, okay. Like, what are you going to do? You're not going to argue with these people.
Means he's a good actor.
That means he did a good job.
Right.
But he was very hateable.
He was.
What a good guy.
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's as daunting as it feels for you to jump in, that's about how I feel about watching The Wire.
Oh, so you'll never watch The Wire?
I'll never ever. I'm 200 hours of television?
Yeah.
It's not two. But it's like, that's days and days and days.
It is.
And I know,
I don't have
and
that
now,
time.
My husband wants
it's
me to
all
watch.
In the Game of Thrones. So,
no.
They say that every episode at some point, actually. That's the thing about Game of Thrones is they say it's all about the Game of Thrones.
Same in The Wire. They say, boy, is that The Wire?
Yeah. Like, one guy trips another guy as a gag, and he's like, was that a wire?
It was The Wire.
What are you wearing? Wire?
The Wire?
Are you wearing a The Wire?
The other thing is, as soon as you finish watching it, they're going to say, oh, you like that show? Watch another show. There's just more shows to watch. It never ends. So there's, just don't watch anything.
And they all can't be as good as The Wire.
They can't. But apparently Sopranos is as good, if not better.
It's
and
pretty
I'm like,
great.
Sopranos doesn't have rewatch.
It's really long. Super long.
Only watch for Jeffrey Joseph cameos, but
yeah, it is
that,
also funny. Big shout out to Jeffrey Joseph who shows up and arrests a bunch of mobsters.
Get out.
I remember watching. I'm like, is that Jeffrey Joseph? I'm gonna watch the credits before I ask him.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're not an insane New York City comedy nerd, Jeffrey Joseph is a comic in New York who's brilliant and hilarious.
And he's great.
And was just such a working actor for so long that just pops up in you rewatching things from like 1995 to now.
He's got good skin. I can't tell how old he is.
He won't tell either. I don't ask him because I'm like, I just want to believe you're
If he told
ageless.
Me he was 35, I'd be like, all right.
Yep.
Every once in a while, he wears the type of beanie no one wears anymore. And I'm like, okay, 45.
He pulls it off.
But he's the best. Jeffrey's the best. And when he popped up in The Sopranos, I was like, all right, here we go. And then he's just a cop who arrests a bunch of mobsters.
Does he talk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I think he's in the opening credits of the episode.
Yep.
Like, I think it's like special guest or featuring Jeffrey Joseph. Yeah.
Because he was also on Dream On. He was one of the stars of Dream On. I don't know if you remember
that
comedy.
I don't know what.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the first HBO shows. Yeah.
First was the guy who would later be on The Parkers, and then it was Jeffrey Joseph.
Wow.
How old is he?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I was rewatching I Love Lucy, and Jeffrey was in a couple of episodes of I Love Lucy.
The one in the chocolate factory. Yeah. He's just there.
He's the one who pushes the strawberries on the belt or the cherries on the belt.
Jeffrey Joseph he is played 1,000 years old.
He was driving that train that came at the screen in that first movie. He looked great, though.
Let's make sure he never hears this episode.
I know.
For
the record, we all obviously love him.
Yeah, he's the best. And it made me so happy to see him pop up. But it's getting – we're talking about, like – I think maybe like this, like Beast of No Nation suffered from Netflix's overwhelming amount of content that came out of nowhere because it gets buried amongst in this whole section of I'm not even going to look at this.
I don't know if that's true. But I also don't know anyone who's seen it.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't really know anyone who watches a lot of that. Just like the Netflix has completely created this thing. Like the superhero ones people will sometimes watch or whatever. But like, it seems like people watch House of Cards and Glow.
Really?
Yeah. Glow is big.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good.
It's huge.
I watched Wild Wild Country.
Oh, and documentaries. Everyone just moved into... Everyone... Did you see the new documentary about disenfranchised weirdos?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Did you see those poor people get exploited on Netflix?
The Staircase? That. Have you seen that, by the way?
No. Explain that, though.
Yeah. No, I can't. I only watch episode one.
It's about this guy. He's like the best staircase builder.
Yeah.
It's about murder, though,
right? It is about murder.
I think it's about murder. Everything's about murder now.
Everything's about murder. People are really into murder.
Yeah.
What's the one with the... Evil Genius. That I like,
yeah. Oh, that was crazy.
What's that about? Murder?
It's about a murder. But she's a woman. All right. At least all of them are like women murderers right now.
Oh, that's
I'm like, that's good.
I think The Staircase is about a guy whose wife died and he said he just found her at the bottom of the stairs.
And she was attacked.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's about.
And he's just like, I don't know how she got down there.
Yeah.
And everyone's like,
and the crazy fan theory is she was attacked by an owl.
Really?
An owl.
What?
An owl attacked her, and then she was like, an owl! And then fell down a staircase.
That sounds like someone wrote that show for this podcast. And then the owl from Zelda flies in.
I love the criminal justice system.
It's the worst way to find out
America.
You got into Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Criminal justice system in America is awesome.
So good. The way they need nerds on Netflix to solve cases.
Yeah. It's 20 years every time another season of another. But like, I've described, like, I'm from Missouri. And I've described to people where I'm from as, like, it's going to be a season of Serial, probably. Like, that's the best way to describe it. It's like, someone's probably going to get wrongfully exonerated because of podcast research or something like that. It's just like that. But people, they're obsessed with it now.
Did that guy get exonerated?
Who?
The guy from Serial.
Adnan?
Yeah.
I think he got a retrial or something.
Okay, cool. I listened to the first few episodes, and then I was like, I'm getting way too into this really sad story. Like, I didn't feel good to get entertained by it.
I got a hard time getting into the true crime. I don't know why people... It's so bizarre that that's what people escape to now.
I know.
Right.
They're like, I can't... The news is so sad. I got to watch Mindhunter.
Yeah.
Where this man describes wearing someone.
But it makes me not judge as hard because I used to get a glass of wine and watch Intervention.
Oh,
and
just that was like, so good.
Really, it was so good. And I used to get high as fucking watching Intervention. Is it wrong that I'm like entertained by these people's terrible stories?
You were drinking while watching people's Interventions?
Like I watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah. Just as much entertainment from which
you're like,
Housewives
I don't need an intervention while I schedule my drinking.
It's good though. It was good.
It's
on
a good show.
Then. Yeah.
This is that's fine.
I used to smoke weed and watch it, and then that's when things pop out like those.
Yeah.
Like you're like so high. You're like, don't go in there, dude. There's gonna be an intervention.
Just walk away. Are in there. I don't need to see your daughter. Come on.
I started taking bets on like what would the sad story be behind what their addiction, how their addiction started. Because it's always like molestation or like usually it's molestation.
Yeah.
Generally molestation.
Yeah, oh man.
General. It's really sad.
I hope someone's like reality TV. I just like to watch it and drink.
Yeah. That's what I would always. We would like get high in college and watch To Catch a Predator.
Oh yeah, we would watch
that
too.
And then all of a sudden they were like, you know, no one in there ever gets in trouble because this is borderline illegal. And I was like, ah, shit.
Wait, really? Is that true?
Everyone gets off because they're like, it's entrapment.
So because their life gets ruined. Yeah, so at least that
they lose
happens.
Their jobs. Yeah,
at least that.
So Chris Hansen's just helping pedophiles,
basically
TVs.
For entertainment value.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's helping them. I don't think he lets them stay in contact with those child actors. Those might be fake phone numbers.
They're like 42.
So you're saying I can't take these mics hard back with me? Yeah, I would watch all the time, and then it would all be about like, oh, now he's when he's going to come out. Oh, here comes. I bet this guy's also a pedophile.
Yep.
And then you cheers.
Right.
They got him. All right. They tackled him down. Now they're letting him go. Weird.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they didn't file any paperwork?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, the only paperwork they filed is they Taft-Hartley'd them to make him give him a SAG card so they could
a SAG
keep,
card?
Keep working.
We only have to pay $200 for this. We're giving you SAG new media rates.
Day rate for this? What's the day rate for all this?
For second,
we're all gonna get jobs.
Yeah.
There it is, right there.
But I guess that is all the precursor to now, which like fictional based on real true crime stuff or everything like that. Documentaries dominate everything. I don't know.
I think if criminal justice was left only up to computers, that would probably be better, right?
It is. I mean, yeah, it's all based.
That's Minority Report.
I love Minority Report for one.
Never seen it.
Pre-crime? Oh, it's where they can tell you're about to kill somebody and they get you right
before.
Yeah,
they take...
And then the guy who's in charge of it gets arrested for being future murderer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's good. Yeah. It's pretty good.
They arrest you for crimes that you think of but never do.
That you're going to commit.
But they can tell you're going to do it. They can tell you.
They can like see an hour into the future or something.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
They've taken three precog people with ESP and they like keep them in a tank and make them download their brains.
Also, very specific.
Would have been a really good name for any documentary about the crime, the justice system in the United States. Could have just been called Minority Report.
Damn.
Boom.
But Tom Cruise, once again, Tom Cruise. Just so you guys know, Travis didn't clap for that.
The black people clapped.
No,
we clapped very loud and
Travis
proud.
Cut his hands off. I don't know how he cut the second one off.
I took a knee for a weird reason. It made no sense.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. But maybe that is like the justice system in the United States is so messed up that people will just live in the fictional justice system world on Netflix.
There's too many hunches in the justice. Like, it's all like, everybody's like,
hunches
he
is
did
a
it.
Funny word.
Yeah, hunches is a great word.
You know, I am Judge Hunches. Presiding.
The hunches back in Notre Dame. They all went to Notre Dame. They got the hunches justice crime system there.
Oh, God.
But they, I mean, because that's all it is. It's like, nah, I think he did it.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
we've arrested another minority for weed possession. Ring the bell, hunches.
Ding!
Yeah, but a lot of it is based on, like, some prosecuting attorney just going, come on. Like, just being like
the Brock Turner thing is total. If that was left up to computers, he'd be in jail for a long time. Yeah. But that judge was like, "Ah, he's a young kid." It's like,
"Yeah, look at him. He's white. He's got a headshot.
He's white. We trust him."
I mean, it's like it's literally. I mean, if we really want to get into it, it's literally based on white supremacy. It's based on the way that this country is built, which gives preference and you know, freedom to certain people and not to others. But
just countless examples of same crime, different race,
nonstop.
It's embarrassing at this point how much evidence we have and how everybody just knows it's going on and everybody tries to act like that's not the case, or the justice system tries to act like that's not the case.
Like no,
rewatch The Office. Michael Scott's crazy.
Meek Mill is somehow worse than Brock Turner.
Right.
We know.
Oh, look at all the people in jail for weed, places weed's legal.
Right.
Shouldn't that, you gotta imagine being in jail for that.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can just buy it now?
Yeah. All the internet has done is teach me how powerless we really are.
Yep.
Like, we can know very clearly that all these things are happening and have confirmation and nothing changes. It's really fucked up.
And people will still deny it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem, is like, people believe whatever they want, but now they have like backups to the bullshit they believe.
The president?
And all
President
his followers.
Of the United States.
I just saw this shit about the kids. One of them who was like, that's what I call them now. One of them.
I usually lump groups together too.
It's what they do. I'm doing it too. One of them was like,
"Well, you really got to think outside the cage."
Think outside the cage.
Sorry, the connected roofed fences. The instruments make another appearance.
You mean summer camp?
That is, I don't know.
We're just burning.
We got a bunch of dumb pun-based games on the show all the time.
Yeah.
One of the new games is going to be, y'all got to describe a cage without saying cage. Because it was incredible.
That was great.
All right, it's a happy box where children, for some reason, are crying.
Can they see through
the
box?
They called it summer camp. Yeah. And I was like, happy gated summer camp.
Children's zoo.
Kids love it. They can take their cup and bang it down the rails and bang it back and play the one harmonica
They love yelling Attica.
they're trading candy cigarettes all the time. Yeah. It's so adorable.
So much fun.
Yeah.
But I saw one of them being like, stop making me feel bad for the kids. It's the parents. It's like, what are you talking
about? What?
You should still feel bad for the kids no matter what happens. Like, I don't care what your belief is.
Yeah.
Kids should make you feel bad.
Yeah.
I've been very entertained by how tone deaf the administration continues to be. They're like,
well, they're not talking.
It's Happy Refugee Day or something like that.
Oh, today is World Refugee Day.
Right,
But not to spoil for when we recorded this. When it inevitably never comes out for these political takes.
They have no interest in having a conversation with people like us.
Yeah.
They're only talking to that militarized neo-Nazi base.
Yeah, this is how these things. I went to the Holocaust Museum in London a few months ago, and there's like a timeline on the wall of like how the Holocaust happened. Mm-hmm. And like, I just looked at Kyle's face I was like, nope, we're talking about the Holocaust. And everything happened so fast, like within like 3 to 5 years. Like, and it started like with suppression of the press, and then like Jewish doctors couldn't practice, Jewish lawyers couldn't practice, blah, blah, blah. And I'm so dumb. I didn't know that there were like millions of years of anti-Semitism. Like, I didn't know that like people hated Jews forever. Like,
I'd question millions.
Since Jesus.
Sorry. I don't know how time works. Thousands of years. There are thousands of years. Thanks for mansplaining time, you fucking asshole.
Oh, shit. Damn.
No, I love Twitter so much. It's given me so much power.
Real Neil deGrasse Hole Tyson going on.
Thank you. Thousands of years, people have hated Jews. They thought that they used to, like, eat babies or, like, drink baby blood. I have no idea what people decided to hate Jews for, but, like, all the Holocaust was what they used that thousands of years of hatred to justify and get people on board with doing this.
Damn.
So even people that weren't totally on board with how extreme it was were still quiet because by then they had already consented to it with their previous hatred, you know? So it's like all these things that are happening are based on America's inability to deal with white supremacy and change and yeah. acknowledging the past wrongs. Like, if it's like exact, it's the same reason why if you won't put down Confederate flags, you know, if you wouldn't do it 100 years ago,
yeah.
you can't face the reality of race today or immigration or whatever we're talking about, trans or whatever we're talking yeah. about that America cannot deal with. There's just this old group of people that like still have a lot of power, and they and not even old. There's young people that
yeah,
are a part of this.
You keep thinking
too.
It's all of the old people.
They're like,
and you're totally
yeah.
right.
And then Stephen Miller's it's 30.
You're
whatever.
Totally right. You're totally right. These things
just
don't
go away.
Just
because his hairline looks like that. He's still very young.
Yeah,
he's like 34.
He's the ugliest man in the world.
He
no offense
truly
to
looks
him
like
being
he,
ugly,
but a Lego so character ugly. Hairline. Like his hairline is
yeah. I'm not 100% sure. Like, Stephen Miller is not coming up in my head. I think I know who you're talking about.
Picture Booger being molded into a human. Yeah.
Picture Ugly or Slender
like.
Man.
I yeah. think I know who you're talking about.
He's like he looks like
a Benjamin Button, like in reverse or something. Like, he looks very old.
He looks
young.
Like he put a glory hole in the women's room. Okay. Like, he looks like that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he look old and young at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Also, flags. Overrated. We have the internet now. Who needs a fucking flag anymore? I mean, maybe that's my own take.
I don't know.
These takes do not reflect the policies of...
No, they do. Anything that's ever said on this podcast is endorsed 100% by the podcast.
Oh,
nice.
Sweet.
Well, then, I mean, like...
Don't use that. Will just starts making stuff
all
up.
All right, great. Now,
it's like, actually, some of that Jewish stuff. No.
But, like, flags were like... They didn't have anything else going on, so they would, like, look at a flag for a while and be like, that's cool, this is cool. We live in America, we got this flag. Now we got, like... other proof that we live in America. So
yeah.
I feel like we don't need to really worship a flag anymore.
Yeah.
We got TV, Netflix.
Another way
yeah.
to
Why'd you point at me when you said nationalism?
White man, sir. I just pointed at a white man and was like, nationalism,
oh,
sir.
Now Travis started clapping finally.
Oh, man.
The Jewish stuff, though, didn't they hate? They hated Jewish people in the Bible. If
yeah,
I remember
they did.
Correctly. Yeah,
yeah. They wrote a book about killing one.
Yeah. An entire book that we all are supposed to follow. And he died for other people
like that hated him. It was really dumb.
What do you mean they hated Jewish people in the Bible?
Well, they hated Jewish people pre-Jesus in the Bible, and because he was Jewish, they were like, "We knew it. We fucking hate that guy too." That's all the Bible is, basically.
We're talking about Jesus Christ?
Yeah,
Jesus. Okay. I want to clarify for those listening yeah. at home.
Throw some
Jesus Christ was hated in the Bible for a bit.
That was literally the less you know.
Then they got him, and then he came back, and they were like, well, maybe we'll listen to this guy.
Yeah.
That's the Bible.
That's the sound you hear when you're listening to turn the page of your like visual, your cartoon Bible.
Oh God!
You mean the Bible?
Oh man,
it's the one I got.
I know. It's like not even trying to like bring it back to just like specifically talking about movies or something like that, but because kind of what prompted all of this is you took a movie and it's like depiction of Africa and the
yeah.
relation of that to where the movies are made, which is not Africa, and
right.
who's making money off the movies, which
yeah.
is also not that, and. It seems like there's like a almost every movie that takes place in Africa is a similar story, at
totally.
Least and so many of them. Like the first one I always think of is like Blood Diamond because that's the one that was winning Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love Blood Diamond.
You like Blood Diamond?
It was a good movie.
And
yeah.
yeah. But then there's something to it's all Americans or all these other
yeah.
people portraying these people somewhere else. And you're right. There's no aside from Black Panther, and it clearly shows a hole. For wanting a positive portrayal, even like an accurate portrayal. I'm
yeah.
not saying nothing is real about
yeah.
Black Panther, but like showing
actually,
what you mean.
In general, I don't want to see any more sad black movies.
Me
like,
either.
I understand the need for slavery movies.
I don't. I really don't.
I mean, I understand, but like the last slavery movie I saw was Quentin Tarantino's
Django.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
Because I had seen 12 Years a Slave before that.
And so
I
you
want
to
like,
watch the sequel.
Yeah. And I was like, it's so sad. Like, that movie was so sad, but I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan, even though he's problematic, whatever. But
I love problematic people.
I love problematic people. They make good shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm
Tell
a
me
huge
Kanye's
fan.
Bad at music, and then I'll like,
right.
fuck Kanye.
I'm
going
to listen to all his
I'm
music
a,
again
I'm
just to see.
I'm a huge fan of Quentin Tarantino. And
yeah.
Django was amazing, and it was like a retribution movie like he's known for making,
yep.
and I fucking loved it.
Yep.
And I was like, I just don't want to see, I don't need to see any more black sadness, for God's sakes. Like, do black people have fun? Can black people can black people have, like, a life that isn't, like, in the depths of sadness and misery?
Yeah.
I would love to see a rom-com with just black people and not having to talk
it.
About, same. I'm also writing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We need
right.
to talk after this.
First, one, first one who's done gets to make it.
All right.
First one done gets to make
and
it.
And that's the only one that's ever going to
be
made.
There can be two.
Yeah. No. We'll have a real Armageddon deep impact situation here, but with black rom-coms.
Right. I'm
no,
so...
No, but there are none. There are none. They, I mean, there's two to play that game. There's, like, Morris Chestnut movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
I just want to see
so
a, or a black
comedy.
You can name all of
exactly.
them. You can name all of them.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to see, like, just a black comedy with just black people. And it doesn't, we don't have to call out that they're black.
Yeah.
It would be great. So,
I have not seen 12 Years a Slave yet because.
Don't watch it. It's sad.
I went to school and I got, like, I don't obviously get what happened because I didn't live during that time, but I went to an all-black college. They told me a lot about slavery.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I'd gone to an all-black college. I love how we've isolated the white people in the room.
I know. I'm just like, this is just me and Charlotte talking right now.
It's, sorry, I'm going to go.
Actually, they weren't all black. If I'm,
there actually were two white dudes.
Yeah, I actually pulled,
on the
I pulled up
team.
Your school roster.
Nice.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Nice.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, it's like that. I mean, it's like that. Roy Wood has that bit about the African-American History Museum opening and how he had a black tour guide, and he's like, I have a black tour guide at the African-American History Museum. He goes, that's the most tired person.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that person's walking around like, that's me in the photos.
Yeah.
And they're just like upset all day, every single day. And he's like, I don't know how. He's like, I can't go back because it's just, they're just there sad and tired every day.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, we... Like, man, black people lead really fun lives.
Really fun
Hollywood,
lives.
I wish you guys would tell it more.
Yeah.
We all have fun a lot of times.
Yeah, it is something where every, I don't know how many, because I grew up in the Midwest, and so we weren't getting, no one's going out really and seeing, like, the black comedies that come out or anything.
The Johnson Family Vacation.
And you're not meant to, because they're not marketed to you.
Right.
They're,
they're never marketed as, this is a funny
it's
movie.
It's one of the things that, like, that is, like, at the, you know, at the heart of American racism is the inability to talk about black people without talking about race.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You have to other them all the time. And you can't talk about black Americans, we never call black Americans Americans.
Yeah.
We never just call them Americans. We never call black movies movies. It's like, it's a movie. Yeah. I watch foreign movies all the time. Like, and I don't think about race necessarily when I'm watching it. And I watch white movies all the time. I never think about, oh, this is a white movie. I'm like, if we talked about other people or people of different races as if they were just, if we normalize blackness, and like, that's what I would actually really love to see, a normalization of blackness, that it's not this crazy different movie that
I mean,
only black people can see.
A large percentage of people who associate everything other than what they are with, like, the id, the other. Like, if this isn't me, this isn't America type of thing, even though they're not what America is or was.
Right.
I've seen some British comedies where they really don't. They don't bring it up, and it doesn't feel weird.
Yeah.
Like, the movie Set It Up on Netflix, I just watched it. It's a rom-com. They try to describe Taye Diggs without saying that he's black in one scene.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this is obvious.
Yeah.
This is so obvious. You could just say he's the black guy over there. But you go through all these different routes, like, oh, he's the handsome, sexy. It's like, okay, true, but also... He's just the black guy, Taye Diggs, over there.
Right. Yeah. Just say black.
Yeah.
But not a slur.
In the British comedies, they don't even, it's not weird. It's like, they literally just don't see color, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like over there. But
I just watched Chewing Gum. Have you seen that?
Yeah, Chewing Gum's great.
That's not, to me, anything about race.
It's
about
awesome
race.
In that way.
Yeah, exactly.
In that way specifically.
But then what are you telling me, that all races are equal?
Not here.
You don't mean this studio.
In Great Britain.
Okay.
No, in our imagination.
Not even
in Great Britain.
8 hours in the future.
Yeah.
We're living in the past, man.
Yeah, we are. We're living in the past.
Hawaii's even more behind than us.
Oh, don't get me started. No. I got some pamphlets you guys should read if you look under your chairs.
We really fucked over Hawaii, by the way. Anyway, as Americans.
I don't know shit about Hawaii.
Americans took the land from natives and then
built upon it.
That's crazy because you don't have a history of doing anything like that. America as a country has tended to be very tolerant of other people. And
not into murdering and raping.
Right? Yeah, you're just like, what? Is there oil in Hawaii? Why are we stealing?
I know.
Was there just sweet land?
Sweet land. Sweet, and they were like,
oh, it's got to be an incredible place for a military base.
Right. That's what it was.
That's the thing.
Yep.
Where do we house the planes we're taking other places?
Right.
That is what happened. And as recent as like 19, whenever it was founded, or whenever it became American, it was like they were raping and taking over land. It's like, oh, I thought that was like 30
years ago. Nobody's listening to this podcast for facts.
I know.
I said millions of years.
It's really literally a podcast where people make giant preconceived notions about things. So if it's movies, if it's historical facts, it's okay. God.
Good. All right, good. I would fact check before repeating anything we've said.
There's probably more accurate podcasts for historical information. I can think of one. But that's
I think
there.
Hawaii was originally an anti-Semitic community. They built it just to hate the Jews, I think. Yeah, right?
I read that.
It was like 3 million years ago when Hawaii became a state.
That's it. Yep.
Volcanoes historically have actually been.
Volcanoes were like Jews, and they would erupt, and then they'd make
don't get me started on Jews. I will erupt. And that's what that Pixar short is actually about. Because Disney actually, once it bought Pixar, everything
right.
A little bit of a,
the Kobe Bryant one?
Right. Frozen is actually about Walt Disney's body.
I saw that movie.
Wait, you've seen Frozen?
Amazing movie.
Yeah.
Is Disney's really frozen, right, somewhere?
I don't.
His head is?
I think that might be a thing everyone thinks.
Because of Futurama, I believe it. But
yeah.
As a Disneyland annual pass holder, I can tell you that he is not frozen.
Oh, he's not?
He's not. Okay. It is a myth.
Why? Who told you he's not? Disney?
Yeah, I talk to the head.
It's in the Hall of Hesitance.
Yes. Also, would his head be at Disneyland? Wouldn't it be in some family member's crypt or some shit?
The rumor is that it's buried under the Cinderella's castle. I was just waiting for the body to find it.
Oh. Disneyland annual pass member makes you an expert on all this.
I went to Disneyland 75 times last year.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
crap.
Yeah.
Last year?
You're an expert.
Yeah.
There's only 52 weeks.
There's so
I know.
People are like huge fans of Disneyland.
Really? I've never been to
Disneyland.
I've never been, but I know another person who's obsessed with Disneyland and goes a lot.
I think anyone who goes is obsessed, right?
And I've been to Club 33, which is the secret club. And
really?
Yeah.
Do they fucking
tell us all of Disney's secrets?
Well, he didn't like the juice.
No, secrets. Don't just, you're just reading, the about the author page.
Oh, you're right, sorry.
Man, those cartoons are good, though.
It is crazy when you watch the old cartoons. Because I watch like old cartoons. I love Looney Tunes. I think Looney Tunes is hilarious.
Oh, they're so.
But if you watch like old Looney Tunes, you're just like, this is what you drew. This is how you drew Japanese people.
Yeah.
And this is propaganda. You watch like old Disney cartoons. You're like, what do we have now that in 50 years people will be like, cannot believe they ever made that.
Your characters had genders?
Maybe. We like to think we're doing okay.
We're not.
But part of me also thinks in the 40s when they were making those like very racist Looney Tunes cartoons, they were like, yeah, we know. We hate them because of their race. You know what I mean? They're like, so this is why we're drawing this like this. Hopefully, right?
Mm-hmm. Ideally.
We got we're gonna play one of our games.
Okay.
It's and then we got a fan script for the we're gonna read for the movie Space Jam.
Ooh, it's time for a game.
So this game we're gonna do it's called Three Tracks, and what this is I've taken the audio from three movie scenes and put it on top of each other. And you have to pluck out what the three movies are. And it's three movies I think we've all seen. I will, but it's going to play simultaneously, so you got to listen and pull it out.
Can we solve it
you can solve
as
it
a group?
As it goes. So okay. There's three audio from three movie scenes playing simultaneously.
What?
You have to
all
pluck
right.
out with the three movies.
Let's do it.
It's a game that critics of the podcast have called a nightmare. And,
I love that. We're still
one
doing
game
it.
You should stop doing. So this is it right here.
Fuck critics.
So just call it out if okay. you know
all
what
right,
I'm calling.
All right, here we go.
I mean, limits to civilians. Hmm? I'm terribly sorry.
Notting Hill?
If I see one, no. I shall inform you immediately.
No kidding, I heard it was kind of hard.
Apparently there's some sort of high toned advance to do up at the Court, eh? How could it be that you upset the gentleman such as I did not marry as an invitation?
When Harry met Sally?
One has to make sure this dock stays off limits to civilians. It's fine gold.
It's one of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Rango, so that's. I'm glad you said that.
There's no ship that can match the interceptor for speed. I've heard of one.
I can't place the porno music.
Nigh uncatchable.
Pulp Fiction.
Wait, the porno music is 40-Year-Old Virgin.
No.
Oh.
That can match the interceptor.
Boogie Nights.
Oh yes.
No. It's a comedy. Kill Bill.
Kill Bill.
Oh, that that was the bottle of sake. Okay, so then what's that audio track?
A Steve Coogan movie? A Farrelly Brothers movie? You understand? That's right. I love that scene.
This is the hardest one of these you've ever done.
How to be a player? Boomerang?
He's outside of a police station.
Beverly Hills Cop? Oh, Blue Streak.
Blue Streak.
Yeah.
Blue Streak.
Yes. Hell yeah. Nice.
It's one of my I don't know. It's one of my favorite movies, but
I love Blue Streak.
I think it's so funny.
I'm talking.
Yeah, that's the
he's gay, 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 gay. That's what.
That was the scene plucked was where he
hides the diamond.
He delivers the pizza to try and get inside. And he's like, he puts on the horrible teeth and the curly wig, and he's like, I got to get the pizza to the police officer. Yeah. And then the guy won't let him in, and he's like, calls the police officer Shamu, which was always funny to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so funny.
It's a great scene.
What a weird thing when he hid that diamond. Yeah, it's hilarious. And Chappelle's got that where he flicks the cigarettes, always so funny, and then the window's up.
Yeah.
Great.
Chappelle killed that movie. That's one of the first things I think I saw movie-wise.
Yeah.
Where I was like, that dude is fucking funny.
And when I Undercover Brother too. First bought a DVD player, it came with The Skulls and Blue Streak on DVD.
So yeah. The Skulls?
Because DVDs were expensive, I guess. And it was like, here's two movies so you can watch them. And I couldn't get in. I couldn't afford another DVD until I got Dodgeball. Like, that was the third. And that was 2 years.
The Skulls was starring Pacey from Dawson's Creek, right?
It was Joshua Jackson.
Yeah. Josh Jackson in a Secret
Paul Walker.
Society movie.
Yeah, in a Secret Society.
And then I'm always remembering, because Chappelle did that bit about the guy who did interrupted John Kerry's speech. Is it true you remember... You're a member of Skull and Crossbones?
Oh, yeah.
Don't tase me, bro.
all right, so we got our last thing here is we're going to a fan, Katie, sent us in a Space Jam script. And the reason she sent Space Jam in is sometimes we play a game involving my dad on the podcast, and a big thing is my dad hasn't been to a movie theater since he saw Space Jam. Like, that's the last time he went to a movie theater. And so that's the last movie my dad has watched all the way through, I guess, is the reason. So she had never seen Space Jam, and we got it here. So let's go ahead and let everyone know who we're going to be playing in Katie's Space Jam scene.
I'll be playing Michael Jordan.
I'll be doing the stage directions, and I'll be reading Immoral.
I'll be playing Kathy Griffin.
And I'll be playing Guy Fieri and Bugs Bunny. All
right. Here we go.
Is Kathy Griffin in Space Jam?
She is now.
Oh, nice.
Interior. The camera pans down a long row of spices, then opens the shot to reveal the tall corridors of a gigantic kitchen, kind of like Hogwarts Library, but with spices and cans instead of books. You could say it's the Michael Jordan of kitchens.
Yeah.
Cut to a shot of Michael Jordan in the middle of the kitchen, sitting dejectedly on a stool while wearing a chef's hat. He is surrounded by an open recipe book, bowls half filled with stewed fruits and spice containers strewn about. Enter Kathy Griffin, who saunters jauntily into the kitchen wearing an offbeat but sassy outfit, like a suede vest and a fedora, to indicate to the audience that she is somehow totally in on a 90s fashion while at the same time is definitely a free spirit. Cue fan rhythm on the xylophone to announce her entrance.
Oh, wow. Hi, Mikey. What's shaking?
How many times do I have to tell you not to call me that?
Well, sweetheart, I'm just trying to establish a sense of jokey camaraderie to somehow legitimize myself as your sidekick in this movie, given the low level of plausibility that we would ever be best buddies in real life. Take a chill pill.
Oh, okay, you're right. I have to make this movie a success to show that show the world I can be successful at more than just basketball and baseball. Okay, just basketball. Also, I just lost $1 million in a reckless bet on my golfing skills. These are the skates. Everybody got that? Turns to the camera like Rick Moranis in Spaceballs. In that scene where he summarizes the plot for the audience.
Okay, you silly man child. So what's this mess in the kitchen all about?
The secret to my success in every NBA championship, aside from my fadeaway jump shot and relentless pursuit to lead the league in scoring, was jam.
You mean like jamming your way into every scoring opportunity? I'm hilarious.
No, like fruit jam, man. The only reason I hit those 6 straight three-pointers in the 92 finals was because Gatorade gave me a concentrated jam form of citrus cooler.
There's good research in here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sure, I shrugged it off, but that was only to protect my secret. And my 63-point game against the Celtics, that was some homemade strawberry jam made by Scottie Pippen's mom. The only way to guarantee success in the movie is to create a special jam to give me the power to break box office records like I broke the mold of the basketball star.
Whoa, that's totally new information to me, even though it's implied that we have years of close friendship between us. What's the matter this time, Cupcake?
Nothing seems to work. I think I need help.
I have an idea. See, this is what quirky sidekicks are for. Let's assemble a cast of Food Network All-Stars and have them Iron Chef it out to see who can make the best jam.
Kathy, that is the first useful thing you've said. And that's saying something, as we've been the best of friends for so many years.
Interior, the set of Iron Chef. Camera pans back on a long table that holds 3 piles of ingredients. Then pans up to reveal 3 chefs, Martha Stewart, Emeril, and Guy Fieri. They are standing behind the ingredients.
Welcome, celebrity chefs. I have assembled only the best of the best here to help concoct some award-winning jam for my movie endeavor. You might say that you are all the Michael Jordans of cooking world.
I would love if he kept saying that.
An awkward silence ensues. Then the contestants nod solemnly and get to work cooking. There is a montage of food prep activity with a jaunty xylophone rhythm in the background. Jaunty xylophone rhythm in the background.
Jaunty.
Spliced with soaring shots of Miami because apparently that's where this is set. Okay, it's mostly shots of Miami. The last scene is of the 3 chefs, again, at the table, each one with a prepared meal in front of them.
Who's Martha Stewart?
I'll do it. Okay. I'll do it. I prepared a brioche toast with jam made from artisanal pomegranates and nectarines, not because they taste good, but because they just look so pretty. I've topped it all off by sticking in some of those fake long twigs from Pottery Barn. You know, like people put in vases on their dining table to look fancy.
Ha! It's me, Guy Fieri. I know my presence here in the early 90s is an anachronism, but my frosted tips are extremely 90s appropriate. So, here I am. I've prepared a gourmet burger, which is incredibly edgy given that people in the early 90s only ever ate burgers at McDonald's and paid at most 99 cents for them. Mine has a fried egg on top, allowing me to charge like $16 for this shit. That's just me revolutionizing the faux food world. Oh, and there's jalapeno jam on top, because all I wanted to do was cook a burger, but I remembered at the last minute there's some sort of jam objective here.
Using my signature New Orleans style, I made a jambalaya jam and sprinkled in lots of spicy sayings during the taping of that montage scene. Bam! Is that enough?
What is all this? These are crazy concoctions that no sane person would ever ingest. What am I gonna do?
In flies Bugs Bunny. I'm not sure why he's flying, but he's a cartoon, so he can do whatever he wants. Everyone gasps.
Is that Bugs Bunny? It's as if we exist in some altered reality where it is possible for cartoon characters to coexist in the normal human world. This is totally new and refreshing, except for the fact that it's a direct ripoff from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That Jessica Rabbit was so hot. Mm-hmm. Can we get up here instead of freaking Bugs Bunny? Also, I'm aware that I'm changing voices.
That's good. Okay. You're very good. I'm still doing Kathy Griffin from that Seinfeld episode. Hi, I'm still here. Because I'm so important to your life in this movie. Give Bugs a chance, Mikey. People love cartoon characters. We don't know this yet, but Pixar is about to account for like half the movies that come out. This will be really, really good for your movie, Pumpkin.
I'm Bugs Bunny. I'm here in this movie to present you with the perfect jam.
He brings out a mason jar that is completely empty and lays it at Michael Jordan's feet.
What is this? It's an empty jar. Do you think I'm some kind of moron? Now you got me madder than when Charles Oakley was traded for Bill Cartwright. I need some special fruit jam, Bugs. It's a secret to all my successes.
Big guy, it's all in your head. You never see Bugs when he's off the clock. He's not as
Yeah, big guy.
Hey, big guy. It's all in your head, huh? It's like that's Bugsy. You never needed a jam to win NBA championships or lead the dream team to gold in '92 Olympics. Your talent was all in here. Points to Michael Jordan's wallet. And you'll find the key to movie success in the same place.
This is exactly what I needed to make my movie successful. A feel-good, quasi-philosophical lesson at the ending. That's not at all ripped off from Dumbo. Thanks, Bugs. You're the best.
He picks up the jar and eyes it wonderingly.
All I needed instead of jam was just this jar filled with empty space. A space jam.
I have, thank you, Katie, for scripting.
Katie! Right?
I have one question. Well, not really a question. Observation. For not having seen Space Jam, she sure had such good details about the career and life of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
It seems like a big Michael Jordan.
And that Oakley
fan.
Thing is not, like, you had to really be a big fan of basketball to know that. I feel like the Oakley Cartwright trade.
Maybe she loves him so much she couldn't bear to see him leave basketball again for another endeavor. Like, baseball wasn't there.
Golf.
Only basketball only. Well, thank you very much, Katie. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Charles,
for
having
giving
me.
Us a look in here. Tell everyone where to find you guys doing stuff and where around and everything.
I'm at Sharla Larson on all social media. And I do shows around L.A. Just, like, Google me.
Yeah.
I'm at Mr. Travis Clark on all socials. And I also do shows around town, so in Los Angeles. So look for me. Yeah.
I'm at Mr. Will Miles on Twitter and Instagram. That's MR, not MISTER. MR Will Miles. And though I'm rarely there, I still claim to co-host the show Comedy at the Knitting Factory every Sunday in Brooklyn at 9 p.m.
Truly a lot of flights. To get back and forth.
Come
to
that.
Every week.
And yeah, I'm in L.A. a majority of the time, I think.
Great. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to write a fan script like Katie, please. Write one for a movie or TV show you've never seen. Send it to us. neverseenitshow@gmail.com. That's neverseenitshow@gmail.com. And if you guys don't know and you want to check it out, we have bonus episodes and footage and other things like that up on a Patreon page now. It's patreon.com/neverseenit. patreon.com/neverseenit. We got a bunch of other stuff up there if you like the show. Thank you guys very much.
It's a good show.